Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And welcome to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman, and alongside me, former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. And what a superb show we have for you this week. Coming up, you'll hear from England's most successful wicket taker in the history of Test cricket, Jimmy Anderson.
You know, I've got myself in really good shape. I'd say I'm as good a shape as I have been in my 30s. If not better, to be honest.
Also on the show, Essex coach Anthony McGrath. But which possible future England star is he talking about here?
He's one of them players when he's batting, you want to watch him because he'll do something you're not expecting.
So much to talk about today. I better get started. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. Hello and welcome, and a big thanks for listening in wherever you are doing so. You're listening to TalkSport 2 or on the Following On podcast. This is the Cricket Collective with John Norman and Steve Harmison. Let's start as we mean to go on. At the top, here's England's Jimmy Anderson.
Anderson in, that's a straight ball, swinging away, it's chipped back to him!
The last 5-6 years, it's just been ridiculous to watch him bowl. You can't hit him.
Here comes Anderson in again and bowls. So this delivery, he's edging and he's out quite that first slip. That happened so easily. That was the right length. That was the right line.
Look, he's a world-class performer and he just doesn't bowl bad balls and, you know, he's getting better and better.
Edge gone. Third slip, no problem this time. Well, Al-Zari Joseph goes down as naught in the scorecard and he goes down as James Anderson's fifth wicket.
I can still see that the hunger's there. I still feel like I've got something to offer this test side and hopefully I've got a few more test wickets in there somewhere.
There's 17 test matches for England in 2021. Is there an element of realism that players won't play every test this summer and it's a case of managing the workload, essentially?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're seeing that right now. As a sort of on the back of last year, you know, we've not got Jofra with us at the moment. Ben's not with us either. And that's likely to continue throughout this winter. And into the summer, I think there's just so much cricket going on around the world, not just internationally, but the domestic T20s that the guys play in. It's going to take its toll at some point with all these bubbles around the world, you know, especially in the current climate. So I think it's something we'll see for certainly the next few months. I imagine it will continue into the winter as well. As you say, it's not just the amount of test matches. I think it's, you know, the 6 test matches we've got here in India and Sri Lanka are in such quick succession that it would be silly to think that certainly the bowlers will get through all 6. So I think, again, as in the summer, there might be some rotation as we go forward.
As Anderson comes in once again. Oh, it's a beauty, edged and out! And Karunaratne immediately goes to the review. But I thought I heard a noise on the stump microphone real time. Umpire S. Ravi says to Chris Gaffney, stay with your decision, and England make the perfect start.
Going on the last couple of tours, obviously spin's been a huge part of our success here. The wickets have really suited the spinners, but it's something that, as a seam bowler, we've got a good pace attack here. You're still in the game, and there's still opportunities to take wickets. You know, there's reverse swing. The new ball does swing as well. You know, certainly I've had some success at Gaul before, and I know some of the other seamers have as well. So it's not all doom and gloom for seamers. We've got to be ready to put in a big shift over this next 2 test matches. it might be shorter spells and less overs in the day, but there's definitely still opportunities to take wickets for us.
And just focusing on the pitch, you look at what's coming for the England cricket team, not just in test matches, but we've got a T20 World Cup by the back end of the year. How excited are you by the year of cricket ahead for England and the potential of what you might achieve?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great going into a year knowing that you've got some really big opportunities ahead. We've got, you know, it starts right here in Sri Lanka, always a tough place to play test cricket. India equally as tough, if not tougher. And then going into the summer again, five tests against India, something that we always, a team we always love playing against in England. And then, as you said, yeah, the white ball stuff as well. The T20 World Cup, it'd be amazing to be world champions in both T20 and 50 over cricket. And then the Ashes after that, it just, I mean, it's mouth-watering when you think about the amount of cricket and the opportunities there for this team this year. So it's exciting for us, and we can't wait to get going.
In come. Oh, great delivery by Anderson. He is squared up after Plessis. He is edged off to the slips. And that change of ends has worked for Jimmy Anderson. The skipper has gone for one.
For me, the focus is right now. I'm going to focus on Sri Lanka. You know, I've got myself in really good shape. I'd say I'm as good a shape as I have been in my 30s, and if not better, to be honest. So I'm just going to try and help this team hopefully win test matches throughout the winter, see how we are when we get towards the English summer, and just take it from there, really. I mean, at the minute, I'm feeling absolutely fantastic. We've had quite a lot of time off, keeping fit. So as I said, just trying to focus on the here and now and make sure I'm fit and ready to play in these test matches this winter.
Jimmy Anderson, 150th test match today. Wow, 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 eh?
It's unbelievable. We've just seen the happy man in Nasser Hussain present the 150th cap to somebody who is, you know, just a little bit happier when he gets going. And Jimmy Anderson, what an achievement.
You know, I've been really lucky that we've had central contracts throughout my career. So that's really helped manage my workloads. Not playing one day cricket since 2015 has also helped. There's lots of breaks in between the series that I play, lots of time to work on fitness, let the body recover, things like that. So I work probably harder now on my fitness than I ever have. I realise it's a really important part of staying at this level and being able to perform at this level. So that's something that I'll continue to do. And, you know, it's something that I've not got bored of yet. So I think once I do get bored of that, that's maybe time to hang the boots up. But right now I'm really loving doing the work, putting the hard yards in the gym and in the nets, and hopefully that'll continue.
Broad got rid of Faf du Plessis, the captain, as well. Bowled him! Stuart Broad has got through Kakiso Rabada's defensive push. Short top edge hook shot down towards fine leg. Should be out and is. Sam Curran takes a very good catch. And Archer has his fifth wicket.
Well, it's Chris Wokes continuing from the golf course end after the drinks break edged. Drinks break's done it. Ben Stokes takes the catch at second slip.
Looking ahead to the whole year of cricket we've got ahead and the potential of fast bowling options that we have heading into the Ashes at the end of the year. How excited are you by the group of fast bowlers that England have at their disposal at the minute?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, it's always great to have that depth. We've seen from every team that's gone to Australia or been successful away from home in particular, it's important to have a big squad of bowlers who can, anyone can slot in and do a good job for the team. You know, there's going to be injuries along the way. There's going to be rotation. So you do need a big group of bowlers. That's what we've got. We've got quality in there as well, which is really exciting.
Yeah! Stuart Broad, is this the start of one of those Stuart Broad-type spells?
Yeah, I feel like he's certainly the last couple of years, he's put in so much work on his game and his fitness. He definitely feels like, I think he feels like he's improving as well. I feel like he's improving. And yeah, I think he's got to offer. And to bowl the way he did last summer, or last year, in fact, was incredible. You know, he showed he's still got a lot to offer this England team, and I think that's exciting for us.
Jimmy Anderson speaking from his hotel room in Sri Lanka, where the team are in isolation. Moeen Ali testing positive for COVID-19. Chris Woakes also forced to isolate because they shared a cab, I think, on the way to the airport. Either way, just got to hope Moeen Ali's all right. Nasty thing to come down with when you're surrounded by your family, but when you're on your own in a foreign country, even more so. It does, however, Steve Harmison, almost certainly rule him out of that first test match, doesn't it? He's not going to be able to leave isolation until the day before the test starts. So that's Moeen Ali out of the first test, you'd imagine. And that's a huge blow because we're only talking about the importance of this series for Moeen Ali. And playing in that first test match was kind of key to him getting a bit of his mojo back, you'd think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was important that he played in the first test match going forward for India. I think it's huge. This two test match series is huge for England's preparation going into arguably the biggest series they've had for a long, long time. I know the Ashes is around the corner, but England against India and India doesn't get much bigger than that. And I think getting Moeen Ali back in was the right thing for the England team, whether it was going to make England stronger or couldn't make them weaker, but was it going to make them stronger? That was the conundrum. Has he got the X factor back? Has he got his mojo back? All those question marks about Moeen Ali. We are now only going to have one test match before we get into Chennai. So for the balance of the side, doesn't really change too much. We're going to have an off spinner and a left arm spinner, which I think we would have had anyway. I don't think they would have played three spinners. I think they would have just played two and played. Now they play Best and Leach. I still go back to what I said on the Cricket Collective a couple of weeks ago. I think England's unit that they've gone to Sri Lanka with is a bowling attack for Test 1 and a bowling attack for Test 2. So, but I actually thought, I didn't actually have Moeen in that, them bowling attacks. I had Moeen in more as the batsman, Moeen Ali, rather than the bowling Moeen Ali. I think the winner in this situation, I think it's Sam Curran, because I think now if Chris Woakes has to have a prolonged period, 4 or 5 days, maybe more, rules him out the first test match. So that means Sam Curran becomes England's all-rounder. And he is so important, whether he goes in at 6, 7, because I think in that bracket of probably was Moeen Ali, potentially bat 5, him or Dan Lawrence play 3 spinners, that's option 1. Bat 6, 2 spinners with Chris Woakes at number 7 and number 8. So 2 all-rounders with a couple of bowlers that don't bat as well. I actually think now Sam Curran potentially has to play in both games. So he's going to benefit from this when it comes to selection, because you need to balance the all-round side. You need a couple of seam bowlers to bowl with a new ball. And if they need a little burst of injection of pace, then I think then that's that. You also need the all-rounder to be able to bat and bowl. And then you've got your 2, possibly 3 spinners. So it's disappointing that Moeen's not going to play. And that's really, really hard for the guy. But at the end of the day, balance of this side from England's point of view, I think Sam Curran's the one that's going to win out of this. And I still, like I said before, go back to the theory that England have taken 2 bowling groups across there with 5 batsmen to play against Sri Lanka in the 2 test matches.
Brilliant stuff. We'll speak a little bit more about fast bowling. Talk a little bit more about Sri Lanka as well, because I'm very interested to find out your views on how you avoid injury. An absolute incredible game in the first test match against South Africa, which saw about 5 of them hobble off and they didn't return. And we're not expecting some of them to return for that England series. We're also going to speak to a man who's recently played in Sri Lanka, Samit Patel, Nottinghamshire Outlaw, will be on the show, as well as Anthony McGrath, Essex head coach. So plenty still to come here on TalkSport 2 and the Cricket Collective.
They will. Essex once again have done it. They've won the Bob Willis Trophy here at Lords, the 5-day final. They come out on top, drawing the fixture 179 for 6 in their second innings. Their target was 237, but that mattered little. They needed to bat throughout the course of day 5, and they did so. They made it to the finish line. Niall O'Brien, champions in 2017, champions in 2019. And they win the Bob Willis Trophy in 2020.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. You've just heard from England fast bowler Jimmy Anderson. And we've another top guest for you now. Essex winning coach Anthony McGrath joins Steve and I for a chat about the influence of Alistair Cook winning the Bob Willis Trophy and whether he was the infamous Yorkshire snipper. But first, here's the serious stuff.
Well, Max, 2020 was obviously a different year. COVID, you know, the biosecure bubble. You actually spent some time with the England team before, you know, the Essex campaign started. How did you find not only the in there with Chris Silverwood, who's a good mate of yours, but also having to sort of build a season round such a short format in the first class and then find your way into the white ball section of the 2020 first class setup?
Well, tough, like everyone found it. I mean, I didn't actually join up with the England team in the end. I was supposed to do, but with our season starting at Essex, things just didn't work out. But it was actually good to see how England put things in place because we got a flavour of what we were going to be like for the county guys. Obviously, we weren't staying on site, but very much a secure a bubble as we can. But I don't think anyone had experienced anything like it. And certainly in my time, I never thought we'd be coming in ones and twos and washing the ball after every throw down and throwing down in blue rubber gloves. I would dress like someone off bloody Ghostbusters at one point. So it was just so strange. But I think credit to the old game, really. I mean, as we all know, cricket's a great game. Everyone just mucked in. The guys had literally 3 weeks preparation, and for the bowlers in particular to play four or five back-to-back championship games and T20 and finish off the season, I think to produce the cricket everyone did, you know, is a huge hats off to everyone how we got through it, really.
And you yourself, Mags, just joking off, you know, when we weren't live there and talking about me, Goffey and Bats, talking about Anthony McGrath as we would in South Africa, talking to John and, you know, the joker in the pack. You know, how did you fall into this sort of coaching role? Because you came out of Yorkshire, did a little bit at Yorkshire, and then you followed your good mate Chris Silverwood down to Essex and, you know, a successful season.
Yeah, I must admit, it wasn't until latter in my career I thought about the coaching route. It was just something that crept up on me. As I got older and I were out of the team, you know, didn't play as much, certainly the last year, I ended up just helping out in the nets, really, with Jason Gillespie. We had people like Joe Root, Gary Balance, Johnny Bairstow, Lively, Adam Leeds, and I kind of did some work with them and really got an excitement, I'd call it, really, for the coaching side. And from there, it was something I thought I could do. And then had a year or two out, came back into Yorkshire, as you mentioned, and then got a call from Silvers just saying, you know, there's a job up. Will you put your name in the hat at Essex? And it kind of went from there. So it wasn't really a career path I thought. And then 5 years down the line, I've ended up being head coach. So it's something I've really enjoyed and grown into, really. I think, you know, it's something now I think, you know, why don't I think about this all the way through? But I guess, what you know what it's like when you're playing, you're just so kind of wrapped up in your own things. You just want to do the best while you're playing and you're not really thinking about anything else later in your career.
Anthony, you know, they always say a strong Yorkshire, strong England, all of that. And certainly historically, the two big counties have always been Yorkshire and Surrey. But when you look at the players and the captains that Essex has given England in its history, is there a sense there, coming from a club so synonymous with England, is there a sense also at Essex when you walk around the place that it is about Essex, but it is also about England as well?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, having played against Essex a lot, you know the players who've played there, but it's not till you actually go to the club. It's a smaller club. It's obviously not a test ground, but there's so much history and it's actually a big county. A lot of cricket is played in Essex, both north and then going down into south and the east into London. So there's a lot of history and tradition there. And as you said, you know, certainly recent past as well, Graham Gooch, Nasser Hussain, Alistair Cook, to name a few, you know, very successful players and captains in their own right. And plenty more who've represented England as well, who've come through the Essex setup.
And you mentioned there, Mags, you mentioned Sir Alistair Cook. We had him on our programme a couple of weeks ago. And I can't praise the kid high enough. you know, the guy I played with and spent a lot of time with. How important was he in that dressing room for you when you first went in? Because you've played in some successful Yorkshire sides. You've played with some fantastic senior players throughout your career. But having somebody there all the time, and imagine during your Yorkshire career, like Zagoffi and Vorney, and people bouncing back and forward into England, you have got this guy for, you know, a prolonged period of time. How good is that to have a little bit of a sounding board, but also an example setter to the rest of the group?
You can't put a price on it, simple as that. I mean, first and foremost, as you know, he's a great man, very humble for what he's achieved. But to have him in the dressing room, he's always the fittest, he always works the hardest. And to use him as an example for the younger players, you know, they've nowhere else to go. So I've been very lucky as a coach to have someone like that. And you mentioned, even though he's been with us now for the last couple of years full time, when he was coming back towards the end of his career, he'd just given up the captaincy. You know how tough it is going from county cricket back to international. And he's probably the best exponent I've seen, is that you'd never know he was going through what he was going through and thinking of retiring. His consistency, not just in his cricket, but his behaviour and how he is as a guy, is just incredible, really. So I think him, we've got Simon Armour, Peter Siddle, Ryan Tenderscarter, guys who've played a hell of a lot. They're not just good players, they're really good blokes. So for our coaches and coaching staff to have them, you just point your fingers at them guys and say, that's the standard. You guys have got to try and match it. So we're very fortunate in that way.
Alistair Kirk has been a fulsome in his praise to Dan Runtz. Give us an idea of the strengths of the batsman. He bowls a bit as well, of course, but for a lot of England cricket fans who won't be familiar with Dan, tell us a little bit about him.
He's a bit unique how he plays, which I think, you know, we like about him. He's very unorthodox. He hits the ball in unusual areas. He's someone who looks to score and excite. He's not someone who's just going to, you know, try and occupy the crease. He has got a little bit of an unusual technique. I'd say probably favours the leg side, but he's working on his offside game. Very confident. And I think he's one of them players, when he's batting, you want to watch him because, you know, he'll do something you're not expecting. But it's great to see him on the Sri Lankan tour. I'm hoping he gets a chance to showcase his skills and plays. He can play spin very well, which might help him out in Sri Lanka. So I think it's going to be exciting for people who've not seen him. I think they'll, if he does get a chance and he does play, there'll be something happening, whether he's scoring runs or not.
And Mags, Dan Lawrence, a little bit similar to what, I know he's not got the same technique as young Wesley, or saying young Wesley, Tom Wesley, who had a dipped his feet into the England scene, played a lot through the leg side. Have you spoke to Dan Lawrence on that front? Because Wesley got found out, you know, reasonably quickly that if you bowl straight, and good bowlers at the elite level, at the top level, do find weaknesses in there. Have you spoke to him about the temperament and things that he's probably going to have to cope with as he goes up?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty different players. I think one thing Dan has recognised is he had a big pre-delivery movement and he's kind of standing still now, particularly in the red ball game. And I think that's allowed him to open up the offside more. I think he was getting quite far across to the off stump, so everything were going leg side, whereas now, you know, he has got the skill and the hand eye to hit it through the offside. So I think given he's a very good T20 player, he can score 360 as well. So he does find ways where teams try and shut him down, for instance, outside the off stump, he will then react to that. So again, he's a young player as well, Harmy. I think we've got to remember that. Even though he's been around county cricket for 4 or 5 years, he started at 17, so he's still developing. But the best thing I can say about him, against good bowlers, he can score off their good balls. So I think that gives him a good chance.
Oh, happy days. And Mags, the fire caught the final, Bob Willis Trophy final. It's named after the great man. Something different is this. The new first class, did you enjoy playing the shorter format, potentially next year being 10 games in? What was it like to lift the trophy at Lords?
Yeah, I mean, it was fitting, I think, to be named after Bob. And I think the season we've all had, and with COVID, it was great that we could have a showcase final at Lords, albeit without fans. I'm a big advocate of the two divisions. I like the promotion relegation. I think it's, you know, exciting all the way through. The games have something on them. But You know, we've got the three divisions next year with a Bob Willis Trophy final. So to have a final at Lords, I think is great for a four-day game. But I think the champions should be over the length of the season. I don't think it should come down to a one-off game. I think it should be the consistency throughout the year. So I think it'd be good to keep you know, named after Bob Willis, but I would like it at some point to go back to a traditional championship season.
And before I let you go, Mags, we've had Gav Hamilton on. Goffey had Gav Hamilton on. Bats has told me I've got to ask you, and Goffey's told me I've got to ask you, were you Jack the Snipper at Yorkshire?
No. There's plenty of stories. I think I were one of the youngest, so I kind of got the blame. And you know what I was like, Amy. I couldn't stop laughing if I were blamed for something. So,
Give me an example of what Jack the Snipper was for people who do not know.
He was someone who was just cutting socks and underpants, I think, from the early 90s. And he was terrorising, you know, people in the dressing room. And I think it happened on that many occasions. People were trying to look who were in the team at that point. So I think the famous one where it came to David Byas, as you know, captain, very serious man. We'd lost a game at Sussex. We were top of the championship. They were seven down at lunch, needing another 150. We lost the game somehow. And Dave came in first in the shower and went to put his socks on and pulled them up to his knees. And he went absolutely mad. We had a Sunday league game the next day, and he said, unless anyone owned up, we weren't going to play and he weren't going to toss up. I think it was Peter Moores at the time with the Sussex captain, asking Dave at half one in the old 40 overs to toss up, and he was refusing to play until Jack the Ripper or Jack the Snipper owned up, but he never did. So, that's kind of where it got to.
Brilliant, Mags. Mags, Matt, thanks very much for your time. I wish you well with Essex in the pre-season and also for the season that's coming up in 2021. Thanks, Matt.
Pleasure. Cheers, guys. Go well.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. And still to come, Nottinghamshire T20 winner, Samit Patel.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Lakeside, he says, two, it goes for four. And that will do nicely. 50 for Duckett. He won't worry about that. It's the Notts Outlaws, 2020 champions in 2020. They have absolutely thrashed Lancashire in the semi, and now they have thrashed Surrey. Brilliant performance.
Hello, you're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2, also available on the following on podcast feed. You've already heard from England's Jimmy Anderson, and we've another top guest for you now, Notts and England's spin-all-rounder, Samit Patel.
Samit, we've talked to Anthony McGrath about 2020. Essex, fantastic, winning the championship. But Notts won the T20 on a very, very cold early October night against John's very own Surrey. You managed to get over the line. First of all, how was 2020, as in the year 2020, COVID, for a county cricketer, leading into what was a different finals day this year?
You'd have to say hats off to the ECB for actually getting some sort of cricket in, to be honest. We actually started, it was a bit weird not having pre-season when it was cold and you get your woolly hats and gloves and stuff on, catching balls. And then actually regrouping again in around July, August, was kind of a bit different. And yeah, it was great to see all the lads again when we finally got back training. And the whole protocols of COVID, it was a little bit difficult, to be honest, and challenging. But we just wanted to get out and play some cricket, to be honest. I think 3 months at home was definitely difficult, and great to play some cricket, I suppose.
The 2020 campaign for Notts, did it, because it came sort of so late and you say you're moving around, did the players that played for Notts help? Because what I mean is, there's a lot of franchise cricketers in there. You like Sir Hales, Duckett, yourself, Trago, Dan Christian, Wasim. They're all cricketers who have played franchise crickets in the likes of Pakistan and Bangladesh, and you've played in Sri Lanka this year. We'll come on to that in a bit. Did that help when you were trying to get ready for what was a different T20 blast?
Absolutely. I think obviously experience helps in all forms of cricket, but obviously T20 cricket, you do need experience. And if you look down our team and our squad, the amount of games that we've played is pretty scary, to be honest. And we could go in with whatever lineup, we could leave blokes out and still be strong. And I think that we didn't have Harry Gurney playing all year this year. And we still had the likes of Fletch, Bawley, Chappie, there's Tom Barber. There's plenty of seamers that could play and we'd be okay. And I think the strength and depth is fantastic that we've got. And it's kind of a luxury that we've got, to be honest. And yeah, we always pride ourselves on one-day cricket and white ball cricket. Not we don't disregard four-day cricket at all, but I think the way that our team is lined up at the minute, that's exactly where we go, is that we know our strongest format. And again, we play off the experience all the time. And yeah, we have some match winners in our team.
I want to talk to you about one of those match winners, Dan Christian. I mean, that guy, I don't know what he has in his juice, but he's not getting any older, is he? I mean, I think he hit a 15-ball half century in the Big Bash a week or so ago. In terms of what he brings to the side, it's almost unparalleled, the success that he's had, I suppose. It must be such a strength for Nottinghamshire to have him. Quick question about him, and also Jake Ball, a guy that you would have seen firsthand. It must have been very, very difficult for him being within the England setup, then out of the England setup. You must be delighted to see that it looks like he's back in the selectors' reckoning again after what's been a very difficult couple of years.
Yeah, firstly on Dan, we always have a laugh and say that old blokes win stuff. And he always puts a tweet out there every time he wins a trophy saying that old blokes do win stuff. And again, I think experience counts. He played a lot of games, knows exactly how to do it and how to win tournaments. And it's no coincidence that wherever he goes, he gets a trophy, because one, he's a team player, and secondly, he's a match winner. So that comes hand in hand. And then obviously on Jake, I've seen him make his second team debut, his first team debut. He wasn't there for his international debuts, but what you do know with Jake is that he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he knows exactly what he wants to do. And obviously, as Harmy would definitely know, that being around the England setup for a number of years is that there are some challenges with that. And obviously that Ashes tour can make you or break you. And I reckon that sometimes it can go the other way. And unfortunately it did for Jake, after starting so well in international cricket. So I think that sometimes you do need a bit of time in first-class cricket to find a way again, and then you come back a better bowler. And I think that that's exactly what he's done.
Is that the same for the likes of, I know Clark hasn't had any international stuff, but there's a lot of talk about Joe Clark being very close to the international scene, whether it be red ball or white ball. And someone like Ben Duckett, who had a taste of it, a little bit of a struggle, and finals day we'll come on to, but he got a 50 in the final of finals day. And when you get big scores, or a good score, it was a big score in a 13-over game, it tells you a lot about the player and what sort of class the player is.
Absolutely. And we'll go on to start with Clark first. I think that Clarkey is always played first-class cricket and he's got a great record in first-class cricket. And he knows, I think a batsman needs to learn his trade first and get plenty amount of games in first-class cricket. And then I think test cricket becomes a little bit more easier. I think the guys that get chucked in straight away in the deep end can either drown or they swim and they carry on. But I think more time in first-class cricket can kind of help them in the test format. And I know, Homi, you'll be a fan of that as well, as a bowler especially, getting overs and wickets under your belt firstly, knowing the fact that you can do it. And then it won't be such a big step up when you do play test cricket. And I think that same Ducky's had the taste, but I reckon if they do get another chance to go back in it, I'm sure they'd be better for it.
Take us back to finals day. You know, a very, very different but cold finals day. You're going there the night before and you're thinking, right, are we going to play 5-over games, 10-over games, 20-over games, ideally? What sort of mindset were you getting to the ground at Edgbaston on the morning of an October morning of T20 Blast?
Well, the thing was that we were the second game and we knew that if the first game wasn't played, then we knew that we would go into the reserve day. And looking at the forecast, we had our minds. Obviously, you want to play and get the game done, but we don't want it to be a lottery, especially doing all the hard work and then get to a finals day. You don't want it to be a bit of a lottery. So I think the minimum overs was 10. So the fact that we got more in was even better. So, it was great. It was cold, but as again, we obviously the team that we had, we were desperate, especially for the last finals day we had with missing out when Ducky missed the last ball. We kind of learned a lot from that. And it was a pretty disappointing day, obviously, last year. But the T20 finals day this year was outstanding. And obviously, Ducky hit the winning runs this year. So, yeah, and he was not out. And I think Ben's had a great year, to be honest, in all formats of the game. So, it's plenty on the positive side for Notts at the minute.
Compare and contrast with your experiences playing the big, the Blast in front of an empty stadium and playing in Sri Lanka at the Lankan Premier League. Slightly warmer, I imagine.
Definitely warmer. But obviously the crowd not being there sometimes does play a fact because I do like the crowd to be there because I can't play off that. So I know, boys, I found it hard not seeing any crowd there. And I know the energy that it gives that you see the crowd players react to. So, yeah, that was definitely strange. But obviously, again, it was a new league. The new league in a different country that I've not really played T20 in, really. So, yeah, it was great. It was a great experience. Some lot of good players. So, yeah, it was a great starter.
What are England going to expect out there in a couple of weeks' time? You know, we don't know what sort of side England are going to pick, but there was one or two players in your side, in the Dan Buller side, that England are going to come up against. What sort of conditions are going to get first up? England going to be looking at three spinners? Or do you think there's going to be a little bit more pace in the wickets where England might just have to play two?
To be honest, Tommy, I think that Sri Lanka do have a little bit of pace. If they're all fit, they have some pace. This guy, Chamira, bowls at 150. They have Lahuru Kumara, who bowls at 145. They do have some pace, but I reckon, you know, when we used to go to Sri Lanka and they used to have Murali and Rangana and people, I don't think they have that kind of quality of spinners anymore. So I think they might have to go to a different tack, to be honest. And I reckon England have all bases covered, to be honest. So, yeah, the pitches, they're obviously going to spin. We know they could spin. But I wouldn't be so surprised if they do leave a bit of grass on it because it will favour their seams a bit.
And you, Samet? 36-year-old, you did a little stint on loan, but you know, in Glamorgan, Notts is the final destination of Samet Patel's career. What's 2021 going to hold for you? Fingers crossed, a full season.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I don't know if you guys know this, but I've signed just a T20 deal, but not ruling out playing 4-day cricket at all. So I've just signed a T20 deal with Notts. And yeah, I just think I'm at the time of my career where I just think that some of the young lads do need to come on, and the likes of Liam Paterson-White and Matt Carter to provide in the spin bowling department, and it gives an extra batsman a crack. And I think that's the way that I've made my decision. I think I want to put all my eggs solely on T20 cricket. I think I've got a lot to give still in the T20 format. So, yeah, I'm rearing to go in the white ball aspect.
A big thanks to Samet. We weren't expecting that answer, that's for sure. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
In terms of COVID substitutions, I would love to have one. I mean, we're 5 guys down at the moment, you know. So luckily we brought 21. Otherwise, it would be Grant Flower at 3 and me at 4 in the next test match. I do sit on that ICC cricket committee. I will be having a chat, I think, at the end of this test match, because I saw India lost one of their quicks today. And I suspect that more teams are going to lose quicks as it goes on, because it's just the rigors of the workloads is just going to be too much with COVID around and the quarantine process.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison. You've just heard the words of the Sri Lankan coach, Mickey Arthur. An incredible series has just come to an end, not in terms of the result, South Africa battering Sri Lanka, really, Harmy, but no real surprise, because the second test match featured, I think, 5 players who didn't get selected for the first test match. And the reason was that was injury. Now, let's turn our attention back to 2019, right? We're inside the first hour of play on the first day of the first test match, and the number one bowler in the world hobbles off with a calf injury, and we don't see him again for the rest of the series. England then have to play the rest of that test match a bowler down. Australia, with 9 wickets down, they're about 120 for 9. Steve Smith at one end, Peter Siddle at the other, and or they're 8 down. And the man who's taken Peter Siddle's wicket more than any other is off the field with an injury. I think he took Siddle's wicket 14 times. Anyway, we all know what happened. Brilliant rearguard effort from Australia. They post a score. They go on to win a match that I would say most cricket fans would suggest they would have lost if England's best bowler had remained on the field. Now, that's one thing, okay? But if you fast forward to the Lord's Test match, and it's Australia's turn to lose their most influential player. This time it's Steve Smith. He's knocked to his feet, off his feet, by Jofra Archer-Bowser. But because of the newly brought in concussion protocol, Australia can take Steve Smith out and put Marnus Labuschagne in. Marnus Labuschagne is essentially the reason they save that test match. And he goes on to become a huge, huge thorn in England's side for the rest of the series. 2 players lost, only 1 replaced. Is Mickey Arthur right? Should we now look at bringing in substitutes for injured cricketers?
I would say yes on the Steve Smith. I do not have a problem with concussion substitutes. Bang on the head. I've not got an issue with that. Medical side of both sides agree. Both medical departments agree that this guy is concussed and he can't carry on. It would be better for him to be, you know, to not go back on the field. I don't have a problem with substitutes. That muscle injuries, I do. I think from a fitness point of view, if you're not fit enough, you will pull up and you will get strains, you will get pulls, you will get tears if you physically you're not fit enough. That comes back to preparation. My opinion is I don't see there being a case for a substitute if somebody tears a hamstring or does a groin or pops a side. You know, it means that their body wasn't tuned enough to do the job that they're asking their bodies to do. When you talking about somebody who didn't have any muscles to pull, so I was quite happy that that's how I played as much cricket. Me and Huggy played as much cricket as we did. We didn't have muscles to pull. If you look at the size of us now, you can realise what, you know, that the only thing that kept us fit in relative trim was actually bowling and bowling lots. So I'm not with Mickey Arthur on the substitutes of muscle injuries, because it means I haven't done their preparation properly.
But how can you prepare for a test series in these COVID times? So Sri Lanka have just played 2 test matches after not playing anything for a long time, sitting in isolation, quarantining. Then they play a test match. They have 2 bowlers pull out, 2 batsmen, and an all-rounder, I think. England are going to play that first test match in Sri Lanka without any meaningful warm-up. They're going to encounter the same problem. That's not their fault. That's because we're living in these COVID times.
But I agree with that. I think that would be one argument that I couldn't come back with, that if you were to bring in a substitute for muscle injuries, like what you had in Sri Lanka, South Africa, then all of a sudden that would stay in the game. And I don't think that's right for it to stay in the game. I know we're living in challenging times. Although we're living, the COVID time is challenging times. But I'd like to stick with what we've got. And that is the game as it is. You know, we don't have substitutes other than the concussion one, which was right after the sad, tragic accident, what happened to Philip Hughes. Anytime you get a bang on the head now, I think you have to treat it with the right caution. But I think the rest of it, and I think it comes back to what I said earlier in the programme, John. I think England are preparing for the India series against Sri Lanka as there were two warm-up games. And I think they've took two bowling attacks. They have took two bowling attacks for the simple fact is we're not going to play this, other than probably spin bowlers, we're not going to play the seamers in two games consecutive. We're going to have a game amongst ourselves. We're going to get one group of bowlers a little bit of a break, play the other group in a test match, and then they're going to get a break and we're going to play another group in the second test match. Now, for argument's sake, people will come back to me and say, well, the smaller nations haven't got that luxury of picking 17, 18 players good enough to play test match cricket. That's fine. I'll take that on the chin. But at this moment in time, I do not want our beautiful game disrupted and having substitutes for the sake of substitutes, because how can you define somebody is injured enough and then all of a sudden there's grey areas? And once you get into grey areas, for me, I just don't bring them into the game. I played in the substitute ODI world. You know, Simon Jones came off, you know, for Paul Collingwood, I think it was, off of Vikram Solanki down at Bristol. Didn't bowl a ball, had the best day of his life. And that for me, it was farcical. We had to take a bowler out of the game because we were 70 for five. All of a sudden, when you start messing with a great game of cricket that we all love, I think it becomes farcical. So it is devastating if you're a Sri Lanka fan. You have had so many injuries in that game. Could you prepare and gone a week earlier, more time on the ground, more preparation on the ground? That would be my argument. If England get injuries like Sri Lanka have done in South Africa, would there be the argument would be get there a bit earlier and play your warm-up games. Make sure you're ready to play in the first test match. If you're not, well, somebody's going to suffer the consequences. And if it is the bowlers, then that's the game we play. And that's how hard it is to play the game of cricket if you're a bowler. So comes back to what I said before. I think England have taken two bowling attacks to Sri Lanka to get ready for India.
Let's look at the six test matches then as a whole, because one of the other things that came out of the pre-flight media conference that Joe Root gave was that Jos Buttler would be vice-captain. And it seems like he is absolutely bang on going to play both these test matches in India as wicketkeeper, batsman, wicketkeeper, whichever way around. Is that a bit of a surprise, considering Ben Folkes is in the side? Ed Smith, the national selector, has intimated that Jos Buttler is going to have some time off. If he's going to have some time off, wouldn't it make sense to miss the Sri Lanka series rather than possibly the last two test matches of the India series? And are they going to let him go if it's 1-1 with two to play, or England are 2-0 up? I mean, something doesn't quite sound right to me there.
It does seem bizarre. How do I say this without really wanting to make a headline? Because I hate it when people try and make headlines for the sake of making headlines. I actually think Ben Folkes is a selection of Ed Smith and not a selection of Joe Root and Chris Silverwood. I think if that was the case, I think you would not have heard Joe Root say what he said. If Joe Root thinks Ben Folkes is an established member of this group who will take the gloves, then I think he would have said that. All of a sudden, he's come out with no question marks whatsoever before anybody starts asking. Jos Buttler is my number one wicketkeeper. That, for me, when he said that, that alarm bells rang to me. It was like, well, Ben Folkes wasn't my pick, sort of thing. I've got Johnny Bairstow, who's going to bat number four, number five in this series. I've got him there as a backup. Ben Folkes has been given to me rather than I actually wanted him. So I don't know that for a fact. It's just me being me and speculating and looking at the cynical side of it. I agree. It'd be very difficult for Jos Buttler to go home at 1-1 after the two Chennai test matches. But it seems that England have basically made this plan that, like I said before, the two bowling attacks potentially in Sri Lanka, and then players are going to come in, players are going to go out into India. And then you've got potential Joss Butler going home. Now, having said that, Johnny Bairstow is going to keep wicket. But I think that answer from Joe Root was basically saying, if Johnny Bairstow scores runs in Sri Lanka, it'd be very, very difficult to leave him out of the side. And the one place that we can put him into the side when Ben Stokes and all the players come back in, Ollie Pope comes back in, is when Joss Butler goes home, Johnny Bairstow will go back to number seven and he will keep wicket. And I think there, that tells me that Ben Folkes wasn't exactly the England captain's first pick. He is another left field pick by Ed Smith, along with Dan Lawrence, because I have not heard the England captain come out and say too many big statements about Dan Lawrence batting at number four or number five for England.
Interesting stuff. Joss Butler, of course, was a left field selection 2 years ago, wasn't he, when Ed Smith brought him into the side. So we shall see. Listen, Homie, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but we will be back this time next week with a full preview. We'll no doubt know a little bit more about the team makeup. We would have heard from some of the key individuals participating, and we will be that much closer to the first test match getting underway. Hopefully with no new COVID scares. We can but dream. Mate, thanks for your time today. Absolute pleasure as always. Thanks to Samit Patel and also Anthony McGrath as well. Fantastic stuff from them. And Jimmy Anderson, of course, how could I forget him? You can subscribe and listen to the following on podcast on Acast, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. But that's pretty much it for now. Thanks for listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.